All right, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25, be looking 31 through 46 this morning. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. Now, I've got the title of the message is Five Marks of Christ's Sheep. Five Marks of Christ's Sheep. Now the scripture here says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth, listen, His sheep from the goats. His sheep from the goats. And He shall set His sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the king shall say unto them on His right hand, to the sheep, He shall say, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous, know that, he just called the sheep righteous. He said, then shall my sheep, the righteous, answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king answered and said unto them, truly, I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now he turns to the left, and then he shall say unto them on his left hand, the goats, he shall say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For when I was a hungered, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they answer unto him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison? Listen, and did not minister. See, these guys, they thought they did those things. They said, when did we not do those things for you? We always did those things for you. And he answered them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, the sheep, shall go into eternal life. Five marks of the sheep. Now I'm going to give you these five marks. I'm going to give you these five marks up front, and that way you can have them for yours. First of all, these sheep. These marks of the sheep, first of all, I'm going to tell you that they're blessed. He said, come, you blessed of my Father. They're blessed of the Father. Secondly, these sheep are heirs. Here's another mark. They have a kingdom. He says this, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Thirdly, we see that these sheep are righteous. He says in verse 40, I'm sorry, and verse 37, then shall the righteous say unto them, he calls them righteous, fourth, they serve Jesus Christ. He said when they were when he was a hungered and thirst and sick and in prison, they served him. And fifth, fourth is still is that they serve Christ and they love the brethren. And the fifth is they confess their sin. They said, when did we ever do these things? They long to do these things, but they confess that they have never. And the only thing they have ever done these things is this, when Christ did them in their stead. Now, this parable comes in a long list of parables. There are actually two parables that precede this one. There's the parable of the 10 virgins, which picture all religious men. There are five wise and five foolish. And you remember that the five wise, they had the oil. And they waited on the Lord, and they endured until the bridegroom came. But the five foolish had not the oil. That's a picture of all religious men. There's religious men who have the Spirit of God. These are the wise virgins. They have sufficient grace to endure until Christ comes, but those who are foolish only have the oil of their works and the oil of their religion that doesn't endure. And the second parable was the talents, the parable of the servants. You remember the one the Lord gave five talents? The second servant, he gave two talents, and the third, he gave one. The first two are pictures of God's people. They're given the graces of God. And what these men did with these talents was they multiplied them. And this is what happens when God gives grace to his people, is that these graces are multiplied. And when Christ the Master comes, like those servants, they give all the talents to the Master. And so when Christ comes, all of his people, all of the work, all of the labor, all of the graces, we give back to him. We give all glory to him. And then there's that other guy. He had one talent. Every man has one talent. You know what that is? They know God's just. They know he's coming in judgment. But what do they do with it? They bury it. They bury it. And when he comes, you know what happens to that man? He's cast out. That presumptuous man. He's cast out into everlasting darkness. Now we come to this parable, which is really not a parable. It's really a true history. It's a true history looking at it from the future. These first two parables are looking at it from the present time toward the future. But this parable is taking place in the future. This true story, it's true history that's be taking place in our text. It's taking place when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And when he comes, he is going to divide all men into two distinct groups. He's going to divide them according to what they are, not what they appear to be, but what they are. He says, these on my right hand he calls sheep, and on his left hand those are goats. That's who they are. And you know what he says of his sheep? He separates his sheep because they are blessed. He said, come you blessed of my Father. He separates the sheep because they have an inheritance prepared for them before the foundation of the world. He separates the sheep because they are righteous. He separates the sheep because they love the brethren. And then you take the goats, and he separates these goats on his left hand because they're cursed. He said in verse 41, I said unto them on his left, depart from me, you cursed. Now, how are they cursed? What does the scripture say? Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. They're cursed because they're wicked. They're cursed because they would not believe. They're cursed because they are vile, and they shall be eternally damned. It says that in verse 46. This is what's going to happen when he comes back. He's going to divide, and then he's going to separate for eternity. He said those that were on his left, they're going to go away into eternal punishment. Eternal punishment. And the righteous, his sheep, shall go into eternal life. Eternal life. Now, the first thing that I want you to see, before we get into the blessings, I want you to see the surety of this. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. The scripture says in verse 31, not if, but when the Son of Man, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. When Christ returns, it's not a matter of if, it is just a matter of when. He is coming. That date is set. It is a day of great glory. It is a day of great praise to those who are his sheep. It is an anticipated day. One day he's coming. Isn't that what the hymn says? Oh, glorious day. Glorious day. When he's going to set everything right. You know that? He's going to set everything right when he comes. And when he comes this time, I want you to know this. He will not come as he did the first time. He came the first time in humility, in humanity only, and disrobed of his glory, he came. He will not come as a peasant. He will not come to save. He will not come to call men to salvation. He did that already. He came as the only mediator and high priest of God for man. This, in his humanity, he obeyed the law of God. He, in humility, was made sin for us. Upon him, all the sins of God's people were laid, and in humiliation, he endured the wrath of God. And by him, by his one offering, we know this, the justice of God was forever satisfied. Scripture says he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. What happened at the cross was this. God saw the travail of his soul for the sins of his people, and God was satisfied. God was satisfied. Therefore, on the cross, when Christ was finished, he said, it is finished. Salvation accomplished. There is no more need for Christ to be humiliated. There is no more need for Christ to be abased. Christ was abased under the justice of God once, and after that, God saw no sin left and raised him from the dead, giving him a name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and tongue confess that he is Lord. When he comes, he will come as King. He will come as Lord. Now make no mistake, he is now King. He is now seated on the throne of his glory. John saw him. He saw the Lamb seated on the throne of God. You see, Christ is right now performing his will. If you're a sheep, this should comfort you greatly. He is now performing his will. Everybody's all upset. Everybody's all anxious. Your pastor included. November 3rd is coming up. Oh no, we got to maybe deal with another president, a president you don't like. Who cares? It's God's will. He's putting whoever he will in that place. What is that to you? What is that to me? Bow down. It's his will. And know this, he is not doing it for the destruction of his church. Oh, he's going to destroy the church. All these people are going to shut the church. So what? They've done it before. They've never put out the light. They ain't going to put out this light. The gospel is going to shine brighter in the darkness than it does in the light. It will shine brighter. And I know this is his will, to give eternal life to his sheep. That's what he's doing with his will as King. He said, Father, I've finished the work you've given me to do. You give me power over all flesh for this purpose, that I should give eternal life to as many as you've given me. Give eternal life to his sheep. You can be sure that's going to be done. You can be sure that's done. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me, you listen to this, shall come to me. I don't care what religion says. I don't care what providence you face. Doesn't matter what things appear to be. This word will go out in power and demonstration of God's Spirit, and he will get his people. He will call them, and they all shall believe. Why? Because Christ is King. Christ is King. He's King, and he is doing his will. And you know what? He's not going to lose one of us. This is it. If you're his sheep already, you get this. He ain't losing one of you. Not one. Of all that the Father had given me, he should lose nothing. Nothing, and raise it up again. I don't care what religion says. I don't care religion is sitting over there worried, well, man, you could be lost tomorrow. Not if you're saved by him, you can't be lost. If you're saved by you, yes, you can be lost tomorrow. If you are saved by him, you can't be lost ever. He saves his people. He don't lose any of them. And one day, Christ will come for his people. He said that I will raise them up at the last day. I should lose nothing but raise them up at the last day. Now listen to this. When that last soul is brought in, you can be sure that Christ will come. Isn't that amazing that there is one person out there that's the last? There's somebody out there that's his sheep is the last sheep that he's going to save. And when that last sheep is brought into the fold, guess what? He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Them that have done good to the resurrection of life and them that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. And so then that's what's in our text, isn't it? Isn't that what it says? When the Son of Man shall come in what? His glory. You know what? No one's going to escape. Men are running around trying to escape. They want to do away with God. They want to do... Isn't this just silly? They think that if they can just take his... If they could just take this Bible, rip it up, and burn it, that they'll do away with God. What are you? You're an idiot. You're an idiot. One day you will face God. You're like that presumptuous servant tried to hide his talent in the earth. You tried to bury God. You can't bury that. Why do you think men are so mad at Christians? Christians, we're not here to hurt anyone. Matter of fact, we all people should be the most honest people, the most trustworthy people, the most loving people. And yet, why do men hate us? They hate us because it shows their sin. Because we confess who we are. We confess our need of Christ. And we say, you need Christ. They say, I don't need Christ. Don't worry. You'll see him. I don't believe in God. Don't worry. You will. You will. There is not one atheist in hell. You hear me? There's not one. They all believe now. But that's too late. That's too late. Christ is going to come and he is going to separate all men. He is going to separate all men. He's going to summon all men. And they're going to appear before this judgment seat of Christ. When he comes, who will you be? You will either be his sheep or you will be a goat. Now listen to this. Sheep are always sheep. I wasn't once a goat and became a sheep. I was always a sheep, just didn't know it. I was with the goats. Couldn't tell me different from me from the goats. I was acting just like a goat. But I was always a sheep. I just didn't know it. You see, the sheep will be received into everlasting life, but those who are goats, they will be received into everlasting damnation. You can try to run and hide from God all you want to, but eventually he's going to find you, and you will appear before Christ. You will appear before this judgment seat. And in that day there will be no longer, the goats will no longer be able to hide from his holiness, but they will be cast out into everlasting flames of destruction. Therefore, this is what God sends men for, to compel you to come in, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know this, everyone that believes on Christ, you're a sheep. You didn't become a sheep, you were a sheep, and God called you, and you heard his voice. Jesus said, my sheep do what? What do? hear my voice. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Why? They're my sheep. They're mine. I'll call them. And so then this is the bright hope of his coming, is that there will be some who are his sheep. There will be some who are his sheep, who will enter into everlasting righteousness and be accepted of God. Now, who are they? That's what I want to know. That is important. If Christ is coming to judge men and divide men, I want to know where I stand. Don't you? You know, the ones don't have any interest in this are goats. Goats have no interest in this. They don't have any interest in this. His sheep do. And so I've gotten these five marks. Here in our text, our Lord Jesus Christ gives us these marks of his sheep, by which we may know if we are his or not. Here it is, the first mark of his sheep. They are blessed. He said that to them. The first thing he said is this, in verse 34, come, you blessed of my Father. They are blessed of the Father. How are these sheep blessed? What is the blessing of the Father that is upon these sheep? First of all, it is the blessing of sovereign election. They are blessed in this fact that his sheep are chosen. Chosen sheep. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You're going to see this. These sheep are blessed because they are chosen and purposed of God to be saved. Paul says this in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, who hath blessed us. Well, has he blessed us? With what? All spiritual blessings. Everything spiritual that God can give you. Spiritual is this. Listen, it's eternal. Whatever spiritual is eternal. This stuff here is not eternal. This stuff. We got a microphone cable, right, Scott? It's not eternal, is it? Because it went out. That microphone cable. Everything's going to go out. Family, friends, that's not it. Those are blessings, but they're not eternal blessings. What's eternal is spiritual blessing. And God hath bestowed upon us spiritual blessings. And the hallmark, the first spiritual blessing given to us is this, that we were put in Christ according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And this is his purpose, that we should be holy and without blame before him. He had blessed us by sovereign election. He had blessed his sheep with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And we were blessed of our Father when? Before the foundation of the world. Look back at your text. Is that not exactly what it says? That we were blessed with a kingdom prepared for us when? When was this kingdom prepared for us, the sheep? Before the foundation of the world. That's when it was prepared. This kingdom that he's prepared was by sovereign election. He purposed to give it to us, his sheep. But this blessing in this kingdom was prepared for his sheep, his elect, by the Father before the world began, which is the same in as we just read in Ephesians 1 and verse 4, that we were given this in Christ Jesus before the world began. So then, what is the source of all these blessings? The source of the blessings is Christ. He put us in Christ. This is the only way we could receive any blessing, is by being in union with the only one who is blessed, Jesus Christ. Behold the blessing then of this unity. Can you understand? Can we grab a hold of this? How blessed is a man that God would put them in union with his Son? That God put us in union with his Son before the world was. And see, the elect were blessed in the Father because of this. He loved us. In love, look at that, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Not just love, but love of children. He's made us sons. That's how we were blessed of the Father. We were made sons of God. And this love, consider the blessing of this love. How infinite is the love of God? How immutable is the love of God? I know religion tells you the love of God changes. False religion says, well, he didn't love you, and now he does love you. No. If God loved you, you listen, he's always loved you. And if he's always loved you in the past, he will always love you throughout eternity. You are eternally loved. God said this, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Yea. Yes. Have you asked yourself that? Does God love me? You believe on Christ. You ask yourself that. I know you do. Do you love me? And God says, yes. Is that a positive message? That's a positive answer, isn't it? Yay. Yay. God said to me of old. This is an old answer. It's not a new answer. It's an old one. Yea, I have loved thee. How long? With an everlasting love. This is the blessing of the Father upon the sheep. Secondly, we are blessed in this, that we were redeemed by Christ. That we were redeemed by Jesus Christ. Now, how should the elect ever enjoy or expect to be enjoy heaven except God make them fit for it? You see, He chose his people. He purposed that they should be fit for heaven, holy and without blame. But he purposed how they should be made fit. By Jesus Christ. See, why you were put in Christ is because Christ was to come and make you fit. You know, right now, you who are believers in Christ, you are fit for heaven. You know why? Because you were blessed in this, that Jesus made you fit. It's not a cooperative effort. He made you fit. He made his sheep fit for heaven, that they should be holy and without blame. The purpose is that the sheep should be conformed to the image of his dear Son. So God, who ordained the end, also ordained the means by Jesus Christ. How did he do this? By giving us to Christ. Listen, when Jesus said this in John chapter 10, we're going to go over it in just a minute, but John chapter 10, he said this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Why? For the Father which gave them me. You see how blessed that is? You were given to Christ. If you are his sheep, this is a mark. You're blessed. You were given to Christ. What does that mean, that you were given to Christ? Go to Isaiah chapter 9. This is what it means to be in Christ. This is what it means to be blessed, to be given to Christ, found in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. This is how we should be made holy. He said, for unto us a child is born, speaking of the humanity of Christ. Unto us a son is given, speaking of the eternal deity of the Son of God. And this is his purpose. And the government shall be on his shoulder. This kingdom of God, remember, these parables are all talking about the kingdom of God. His kingdom. Now, I want you to understand this. If you who are his sheep are blessed in this, you were given to Christ for this specific purpose, that the responsibility of your salvation should totally rest on him. That's what that means. The government, his kingdom, his people shall be on his shoulders. That means he should be made surety for you. Surety. And when his people are called, when his people believe, guess what they call him? his name shall be called Wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? When you think of this, that he took all the responsibility for your salvation, left none of it for you. What do you call it? Wonderful. What is that when you feel responsible? He becomes what? Counselor. When all the world surrounds you and caves in on you, what do you call him? The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And listen, why do we call him all these things? Because of his success. Not only was he made responsible, but you're blessed in this. He was successful. How do you know? Look at verse 7. Look at it. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be what? No end. In other words, it will not fail. He shall sit upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to, listen, order it, to establish it with justice and judgment henceforth forevermore. To order it, what does that mean? That means to erect it. He's going to build it. You see, that's success. He said, this is not an iffy situation. I've given my people to him. They are blessed. And I'm going to build my kingdom. And I'm going to establish it. He's going to support it. He's going to sustain it. He's going to keep it so that none of it is lost. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. Isn't that what the scripture says? Isaiah 42. He shall not fail. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? It's established according to judgment and justice. When he pardons these sheep who are blessed, he's going to do it out of strict justice. Out of strict holiness, they're going to be pardoned. They're going to be received. Why? They've been blessed. And thirdly, they've been blessed in this. They've been given the new birth. They've been given a new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's not telling Nicodemus he had to go do something. That's just stating a fact. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Why? I'm going to do it. You're going to be born again is what he was telling. You must be born again. Why? Because the Spirit of God is going to come and give you life. And he did. He gave Nicodemus life. And that's what he does with all his sheep. How blessed is this? That we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were just like every other goat in the world. Had no love for God, hatred for the gospel, kicking at every providence of God. We hated God and didn't care for him. And then what? He came and gave us life. Why? He does that for all his sheep. He gives them life. Why? They're blessed. They're blessed of the Father. He gives them eternal life. Jesus said, other sheep I have which are not a fold, them I also, listen, must bring. And they shall hear my voice. This is how he calls us, right? He calls us by his voice. Why? He's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd of the sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. And we know this, that all of his sheep will hear his voice. All of his sheep will hear his voice because they're blessed. They're blessed by not merit. This blessing came not by the merit of the sheep. It came by grace, free grace. They were blessed. God raised us from the dead and gave us faith in Christ alone. Go to John chapter 10. Look at this. John chapter 10, look at verse 25. These Jews were murmuring at Christ concerning these things. They said, you tell us if you're Son of God. He said, I told you who I am, what I came to do. I told you, but you believe not. Now, why did they not believe? He said, you believe not The works I've done in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not. Why? Look at that. Because you are not of my, what? Sheep. You know what? The mark of the goat is this. They will never believe on Christ alone. They will never believe on Christ alone. They believed not because they were not of his sheep. As I said to you, this is a mark of his sheep. They hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Listen to me. Have you heard his voice? That's important. Have you heard his voice? You can know all there is to know about election. You can know everything there is to know about Christ's redemption. But if you have not been called to faith in Christ alone, listen. You're not his sheep. You have no evidence. Nothing to rest your soul on. Only those who believe on him alone. Do you believe? Listen. You're blessed. You're blessed because you were chosen. You're blessed because you were redeemed. You're blessed because you were called. And listen, if you have been called, here's the second blessing. You are an heir of heaven. Look at that back of your text. Go back to your text. And see this in verse, again, back in verse 34, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Those who are blessed of the Father in election and redemption and calling are heirs. Heirs of a kingdom prepared for them by God. See if these sheep are blessed as to be heirs. The people are made heirs. Listen. By a will. I didn't say by their will. By a will. When a man is living, he writes his will. He writes a covenant. That's what it is. It's a covenant. And he names people in this covenant as heirs. And when he dies, this covenant, this will is read. And those named in the will receive what the man has ordained for them, what the man has purposed to give them. But how much greater is the will of God, the covenant of God? God hath made a covenant, a will for his sheep. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, has ratified the will and made the will open. Scott and I were talking about this, the Old Testament. It speaks all of Christ, but it was shrouded. And those people in the Old Testament, they knew some things. They knew some things, but most of it was really confusing. Most of it, they didn't know everything. But now that Christ has come, what? The will is open. Isn't that what happened when Christ opened the seals? He opened the seals and loosed the seals. He's made his will known. His will is known. And those who have been named in this will, they believe and listen. They've been given an earnest of this inheritance. Haven't we? The scripture says you've been given the earnest. The spirit is the earnest. What's an earnest? It's a down payment. You have the spirit of God. You believe. You have the spirit of God dwelling in you. Constantly keeping you in the faith. Why are you still here? Why are you still believing? You've had many oppositions, haven't you? You've had many obstacles, many trials, many difficulties. We've seen many go away. Why is it that you're still here? Because you have an earnest. You are sealed. I like that. Sealed with the spirit of promise. Kings put his stamp on you. Do not open until the resurrection. It's not going to be moved. Can't, can't take you away. King's got a seal on you, his spirit. And so you've received a down payment, but listen, one day when Christ comes, you'll receive the whole thing. Can you imagine what heaven is like? I'm not even talking about the heaven right now. I'm talking about when all of the saints of God are in their body, soul, and spirit glorifying God. Well, there's no more change. You know what? Right now, if everything was remained the same, we would be bored to death, right? It'd be horrible for us. I mean, if you didn't have any change in your life, why is that? Because we have sin in this nature. We still don't understand what perfection is. I'm talking about a changeless, perfect place where there is no more sin. Only fullness of joy. Only fullness of love. Only fullness of peace. I can only imagine that. But you know what? That's what you've inherited. Eternal joy. Eternal love. You've inherited this. You've inherited God. He said, I am thy exceeding great reward. And thirdly, this, the sheep are righteous and they love Christ. Our Lord calls his sheep, those that are blessed of the Father, he calls them righteous, giving us a list of righteous service that has been done in love to Christ while they were upon the earth. Look at this. He said, you blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. For you, I was hungered, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited. I was in prison and you came to me. Listen, then shall the righteous say, Lord, when did we see these things? When did we do these things? This is what the Lord proclaims. He said, you did it. You did it. You were righteous. You served me perfectly upon the earth. And the righteous will confess, Lord, I do love you. I do desire to serve you here. But when in the world did I ever do it where you can call me righteous? Our Lord confesses the great love of his sheep for him and the great display of their love to him by doing it to his own person. Now, true believers in Christ, I know you love him. I know you want to serve him, but you must confess that you've not done it right. How then can he call you righteous? Listen to this. Only because you have done it in him. In him. Only because he has made you righteous. He has made you righteous. So then our confession is this. We have sinned. This is another mark of the sheep. The mark of the sheep is that they are righteous. The mark of the sheep is that they love God, that they serve God. Believer, do you not love him? Do you not serve him? Every believer. Jesus said, if any man come not after me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sister and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Is it your desire to serve Christ? Because that's a mark of the sheep. They serve him. Jesus said, they hear my voice and they do what? They follow me. Do you follow him? Where did he go? Did he not go to a cross? Where do you go? Do we not also have a cross to bear? Yes. Yes, we serve him. I tell you this, we serve him not like we want to. But we do serve him. But know this, that no matter how much your service to him, how good your service is to him, we never trust that for our righteousness. We only trust him for our righteousness. And so this leads me to the fourth mark now of the sheep. Look at this in verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in and clothed thee, or saw thee in sick or in prison and came to me? What are they confessing? They're confessing this, though they wanted to do these things, they confess that they have never done these things to earn their righteousness. We by nature who were rebels and vile in our sins were rebellious against our Lord until he came and touched our hearts and cleansed us from our filth, our leprosy. And then and only then we sought to serve him and love him. But we're like Peter, aren't we? When Peter, you know, he served the Lord. Those 3 years he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. He served him. He said, have we not forsaken all and followed thee? And Jesus didn't rebuke that. He said, you're going to receive a reward for that. I understand you've done that. But then what? In the end, he denied him. And our Lord asked him that simple question, Peter, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know I love you. Oh, not like I want to, but I love you. I love you. And so do all of his people love him, but we confess that our love is weak. We bow our heads in shame and confess, Lord, when did we ever do these things? You know what? I've never seen the Lord in the flesh, have you? I've never seen the Lord in the flesh. We've never been able to feed him or go to visit him or any of these things. If our righteousness were to ever come by our acts of love, then surely we would be goats. Isn't that right? The sheep confess that. That's a mark of the sheep. We confess. We know who we are. We desire to serve him. We know our only righteousness can come from him. And we still to this day confess our sins before him. But see, believer, you are called righteous by the Lord even because we are righteous before the Lord. He's not pretending. When he said, then shall the righteous say, he's not pretending they're righteous. They are righteous. I want you to get this, believer. If you're his sheep, you believe on him. I want you to know this. You are righteous. You are. You're righteous because he made you. You know, the false church, they say things. They take a little dip of water and they throw it on people and make the sign of the cross. They say, I pronounce you clean. You know what? You ain't clean. They can pronounce all they want to. The only one that can make such a pronouncement is Christ because he actually did it. He actually made you righteous. Remember this, we were made sinners by what? You were made sinners by a representative, weren't you? How you made righteous? By a representative. By someone to do the work for you. Not 99% of the work, all the work. All your righteousness. Christ hath made you righteous. Our righteousness was done by his righteousness and by his blood, and is in no measure did we ever participate in this righteousness. Why? For the Lord, our righteousness has obtained by his redemption. The scripture says that by his own blood he hath obtained what? Eternal redemption. eternal redemption. And because of His righteousness that is imparted and imputed to us by the Holy Spirit, you listen, you have His name. You have His name. The Scripture declares that, didn't it? The Scripture says in Jeremiah 23, He shall be called what? The Lord our righteousness. And in Jeremiah 33, guess what His church is called? The Lord our righteousness. I like that hymn. With His holy garments on, I'm as holy as the Holy One. Isn't that what He just said? He shall say unto the righteous. Don't you see, if you're a sheep, if you believe, you are righteous. You love Him, you serve Him, not like you should, not like you want to, but your righteousness is not dependent upon your service and love, but His service and love. That's why you're righteous, because of Him. Now listen, I know that you struggle. I told you what the Word of God says. Listen, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. You got that? Unto all and upon all them that believe. What? The righteousness of God obtained by the faith of Jesus Christ is imputed and imparted to you. Now I say that. Do you believe that? Now listen, I know you struggle with that. Why? Because sin still remains in us. And so we're, like it says in Song of Solomon, we are a company of two armies, always at odds with one another, the flesh and the spirit constantly struggling. Often we ask, like Newton, 'tis a point I long to know, am I His or am I not? If I am, why am I thus? Yet the Lord's word is against what you see. It's against what you feel. It is against what we experience. The Lord says, then shall the righteous say. What do the righteous say? They confess their sins. They confess their sins and know this, that they are only righteous by Him. Is that what you confess this morning? That's a mark of the sheep. They confess their righteousness of Him. Now, the last mark is this. The sheep not only love Him, not only made righteous by Him, not only are they heirs of heaven, not only are they blessed of God in election and redemption and calling. Listen, the sheep love the brethren. Look what Jesus said to these sheep. And the king shall answer them, verse 40, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. How many today cling to a false hope of being a sheep and saying, oh, I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, and have no love for the brethren? We have two commandments of our Lord. The first commandment is this, faith. This is the law of the believer, faith in Jesus Christ, isn't it? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe on the Son of God, which is a gift of God. But there's a second commandment in it. Love one another, even as I have loved you. John said this in 1 John 3. He said, we know we pass from death to life because, listen, we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now, I don't need to expound on that very much, do I? Do I need to add anything to that? There's a bunch of people who they profess their love for Christ and their faith in Christ. They know all the doctrines of grace, and yet they never darken a church. They never darken a place to hear the Word of God. They have no love for the Word of God. I'll tell you this, if you don't have a love for the Word of God, you don't have a love for the brethren. You know why? Because it's an encouragement to the brethren to come and worship. That's what it is. It's an encouragement to the brethren. And if you won't do that, you don't love them. Don't tell me how much you love Jesus if you hate your brother. If you will not give to your brother, if you will not help your brother, don't tell me you love Christ. Our Lord says, "Insomuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, you did it to me." Anybody want to serve Christ? Serve his brethren. Do good to them. Preach to them. Tell them. Encourage them. Strengthen them with what? The Word of God. We're not going to strengthen each other with our opinions, are we? We're going to strengthen each other with the Word of God. Scott, look at me. You're righteous. He made you right. Is that not encouraging? It's in strengthening. I love you. I preach to you because I love you. I want you to hear these things. I want you to believe these things. I love these things. And I want you to know these things. So then these are the marks of his sheep. They're blessed of the Father. Are you blessed of the Father? You've been chosen of the Father. You're his sheep. You've been chosen. What a blessing. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Son of God. What a blessing. You are in union with the Son of God. What a blessing. You've been called by the Spirit of God. You pay attention. You'll be kept by the Spirit of God in faith. What a blessing. You have an inheritance waiting for you when he comes. When he comes, he's going to give you everything. Why? Everything he purposed, everything he planned, and everything he purchased, he's giving it to you. Everything. What a blessing. What an heir. You're righteous. You're sheep, you're righteous. He made you righteous. You're a sheep, you serve him. You follow him, you believe him. You confess your sin. You confess your sin, and all your hope is in him. And listen to this, you love the brethren. Those are marks of his sheep. Are you his sheep? Now listen, if you've not believed, I don't know, maybe you are his sheep. But I know this, if you are, he'll call you. And you'll believe. And you'll rejoice with us. I pray he'll call you today in Jesus' name.